Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. As we are live today from the Jefferson L Training Complex inside a beautiful Forest River RV by Camping World, Jefferson L Champions of Care, and the official health system partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, the perfect song to play us in here is Friday night, Hugh, was Chase Utley night at Citizens Bank Park. Now, rain delay made everyone have to wait for the speech. And I'll tell you, when I, you know, I was waiting for it, I knew there was a delay, and I turn it on, and I'm like, all right. You know, I'm excited to hear what Chase has to say, but I didn't expect a long speech. I didn't expect, you know, he was usually a man of few words, right? He wasn't someone who talked a lot or like, you know, it seemed like that was his thing. So if you had told me beforehand that there would be a 25-minute speech, I would have said, there is no way.
Man, Chase talked for 25 minutes?
Yeah, he did, and it was great. It was one of the better, you know, kind of special night, Hall of Fame induction kind of speeches I've heard in a long time. Let's hear some of it. Chase Utley on Friday night talking about playing here in Philadelphia.
You don't really just play in Philly. You survive it. You earn it. And if you're lucky, you grow from it. To me, this city is about passion. It's about emotion. It's about toughness. But most of all, it's about winning. For 13 years, I tried to play the game that this city expects us to play. Hard, honest, no shortcuts, no excuses. And you let me know every night whether I was doing my job. That's what I love most about this city. Because in Philadelphia, you don't get respect. You have to earn respect. And standing here tonight, knowing I may have earned a small piece of that respect from you, that means more than me. That means more to me than everything.
That was great. I mean, he's not lying though, man. And that's part of it. It's one of those things where, you know, just because you get drafted here and people love you initially, you got to play. You got to play hard, man.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And you know, I know some people, they get a little upset when I say Malachi, you know. But that's kind of a part of it. And I know that people also get upset when they don't understand the dynamic of a locker room. But you got to understand the dynamic of the city, too. Because he's brought in, he's tasked to pick up, whether it's fair or not, where A.J. Brown left off. You know, just as an aside. But that's what this city's all about, man. I mean, just like when I, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking about Jalen and you know, the pressure Mannion's going to be under and all this other stuff. The people are going to ride for Jalen because Jalen's won. Jalen's a winner.
Well, you know? He has pellets on the wall here.
Yes.
And and when
pellets
Chase said
on the wall
that,
is a good one.
I mean, think about it like this. You got traded here. You weren't drafted here. And you had done some stuff in the NFL, right? You were Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I was younger then. But, like, I just imagine the fan then when you got traded here. You had to earn their respect.
Oh, no question.
Right? Wasn't, oh, Hugh Douglas is good because he was good with the Jets.
He was a Jet, yeah. It didn't matter what I did with the Jets.
Right, and then within a couple of years, you earned everyone's respect here.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, man. It's about, and you feel that. You feel that, and I'm pretty sure Chase feels it to this day. You know, the only thing that I hate that we didn't do is get a championship here, but you feel the respect and the adulation on a daily basis. It's funny, right, because I was the Eagles legend today, right, and it was a bunch of kids – from MLK to the football team right now. And, you know, you – like, I've never been the type that gets upset because nobody knows who I am, because I know I played in the era where, you know, it was a while ago.
Sure.
So it was funny because some of the kids like, who is that? And it's like, that's Hugh Douglas. He played. And they kind of went down, you know, the resume and everything. I mean, and that's Philadelphia in a nutshell. You're never forgotten because you're always spoken – with adulation. People speak about your adulation, yeah, man, and they talk about the things that you've accomplished and what you meant to the team and things of that nature. And I just thought it was pretty cool. And even though the picture was up and the name was on the front plate, somebody still called me Hollis.
I'd like to think it's on purpose at this point.
No, it wasn't, Joe, because he said, this is what he said. He said, hey, didn't you hang out in London with us?
Again? What did Hollis do in London that everyone wants to talk about?
Whatever Hollis did.
I don't want to know.
No, listen.
I don't want to know.
Whatever Hollis did in London, it must have been epic. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm not going to come. Whatever you and Hollis did in London, I'm not going to come close to doing it.
I don't know. We get to be there for quite a few days.
We're going
to
be there for a few days, but I'm telling you, I'm going to be.
Pubs stay open late.
They do, but I plan on being, you know, on my best behavior.
No, stop.
I am. I'm going to be on my best behavior.
It's a different content. And probably, it doesn't even count.
And I'll probably be banged up by 9 o'clock.
Well, we know that. All right, let's get to one more from Utley here, how he ended his speech. It was one of the better, you know, Hall of Fame kind of special night speeches I've ever heard. Here's Utley on Friday night.
And now, to have my name forever connected to this organization and this city, that's something I will carry with myself forever. So thank you, Philadelphia, for everything you gave me, and for making me feel like a part of your family. I will always be proud to be a Philadelphia Philly. Thank you.
Awesome.
It felt like he was warming up for maybe next summer in Cooperstown. That speech had feeling to it, like, you know, maybe he was trying to,
you know, that's why he talked so long, because he said, hey, man, you know, it'd probably do yourself a huge favor if you give the people what they want.
Yeah, and he did. I thought it was awesome. One last one from Utley. They did a little press conference afterwards before the game started. Let's hear Utley talking here about the fans and kind of the connection he always had with them and what he feels.
You know, it's been about a decade since you played here, a handful of years or so since your major league career came to a close. Has it hit home with you just how popular you are in this town and how much this town adores you?
And I mean, I adore this town. I mean, we had such amazing moments over the years, and we created so many memories together. Obviously, winning the World Series, number one, but other than that, we had so many great times together. And I appreciate their support. They supported me essentially from day one. I definitely had to earn their respect, and I felt like I did a pretty good job at that. So, yeah, I'm as much obsessed with the fans as they seem to be with me.
Very cool night on Friday for Chase Utley. And you could tell, Hugh, people were there for that because the game, there was a delay, right? Then they had the
and they hung out.
And then, but then the game was pretty late, like because of the delay and the ceremony. By the time we got to late in the game, and the Phillies, you know, it was up and down game for them. People kind of started to clear out, which I wasn't surprised when it was like 11:15 and I'm falling asleep in my couch. So I'm like, yeah, people were there for Chase Utley. The game itself and Alec Bohm's nonsense, not so much. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the phone lines. Your chance to react to all this. I want to pull the plug on Bohm. Pressure on Mannion. I don't really feel there's much pressure on him this season. First year as an offensive coordinator, they get rid of A.J. Brown. It's a brand-new system. I think he gets a year to kind of figure it out before the pressure really gets ratcheted up on him. Hugh disagrees, thinks there's a good amount of pressure on him. And, of course, Lane Johnson announcing this is likely his final year in the NFL. I think if the Eagles knew then on draft night that what we found out the other day, I don't think they draft Mekhi Lemon. I think they trade up for an offensive tackle. And we have a prize today. Pair of tickets, Eagles Open Practice, August 25th. Give us a great what if. Could be sports, could be non-sports. Something that makes you go, what if. Jay in West Philly is up on WIP. Good afternoon, Jay.
Hey, so, you.
Jay.
Yo, what's up, man?
Hugh.
What's going on, Jay?
Hey, Hugh, now, by nature of the job, right, wouldn't Sean Mannion be under more pressure? Because each offensive coordinator...
I would think so.
That's just common sense, right?
I mean,
yeah, it's common sense.
I mean, that's the way I see it. You know, Joe doesn't see it the same way.
and we know that Lurie, we know he's a big fan of Jalen Hurts, right?
Big old fan.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the owner speak, people listen. So just well, by making common that, sense, that just let me know. What's bad about it?
Oh, I said, well, that's that. I mean, your point was made. You're right. I guess that's it.
Exactly.
That's all. Lurie likes Jalen, so that's all. Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Look, that's what the owner said. The owner said that's
right.
Goes.
Yep. So, that means he's our QB for the next 5 years. Out. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take his track record over the next 5 years. Another two Super Bowls. You just take that?
Probably, yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, probably. You would or you wouldn't?
I don't know.
You'll take another October. It'll take another October. Them bombs stinking, won't you?
No.
You'll do that, won't you?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it should, a lot of people's jobs should be on the line over there.
Yep.
Hugh, how are you looking out there in practice, Hugh?
You know what? He was on, Jay, he's on the other side of the field. Didn't get a chance to see him today. We got to wait for Ellie to come in and give us a play-by-play. I saw Ashlyn. She was here. Didn't get a chance to talk to her, though. But I'm hoping today, I hope he did pretty good today. It don't feel like it was a bad practice for him, you know, but I didn't see it because it was on the other side of the field.
Oh, Okay, but he getting better. Last couple of Elliott reports I heard, you know, eyewitness recounts that he's getting better. And he said he has the least of his worries in his offense.
I did hear Elliott say, as far as who's having a really good camp, he said Jalen's head and shoulders. You know, he's that dude. Oh, okay.
I heard he just got picked off by Quinion over the middle, though.
Okay, it happens. It's, you know, it's practice. What are you going to do? Are we good, Jay? We got anything else?
Anything else?
Yeah, I got a what if.
What do you got?
What if Spike never hired you?
Wait a minute. Wow.
Well, your life wouldn't be as good, Jay. You'd be in the show all the time. Well, actually, Spike, well, to be honest, Spike did
not. It'd be better for everybody.
Well, actually, if we're being.
No.
I mean, I let you talk, and then you answer my question, and you said that. Spike actually did not hire me at WIP. Now, he was here as I got elevated and moved up, but he did not hire me. Spike was actually, I believe...
He's in New York still, wasn't he?
Well, no. He was our web guy here, and he was a part-time host when I first started. So we were both just hosts the way we're both just hosts now, and then Spike elevated
and Spike blew up.
Yep, and his role changed, but he did not hire me, Jay. So it's actually not a great what-if because it's not accurate.
We did just get our training camp trade from Elliott for Hurts.
What do you got?
C-minus.
C-minus today, Jay.
Step backwards.
Uh-oh. Not a great day, then.
Well, look, so but Lori said he likes him, though, so never mind.
Spike said he hired you.
Well, he didn't. I mean,
Spike said he hired you.
Well, he didn't. I mean, he gave me a promotion.
So he lied?
Maybe he misremembers.
He misremembers.
He gave me a promotion, that was back in 2017.
He gave you a promotion, so he's responsible for you then.
Well, partially, sure. Yeah,
he's responsible for you being here.
Partially, but he did not hire me. That's not accurate. We try to be accurate on this show. He didn't hire me. He wasn't in charge of hiring.
That goes out the window when you bring Jay.
Wasn't in charge of hiring when I first started WIP. That's the reality of it.
Would you be unselfish like the rest of the Phillies? Would you move around?
Absolutely. Of course I would.
Can we get you to overnight sometimes? Jay, here's the thing.
If WIP asks, Jay, see, that's the difference. Guess what? They've only asked me to move up, not backwards, Jay. They've never asked me to move backwards. They've asked me to move up, Jay. So I do what they say. No, it wasn't.
It was spiteful.
It wasn't. Well, Lakin's different. Lakin put me in the midday.
Oh, no, Lakin's different.
And Lakin blessed me with the opportunity to talk to Jay in West Philly. How enriching my life is having to have this conversation every day.
Talk to him, Jay.
I try.
Whose side are you on, Hugh?
You've enriched his life.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Hugh's on Jay's side.
I agree.
Well, no, I root for chaos.
Well, Jay is, I got to tell you.
Jay is the chaos agent.
Be honest. When you and Jay just talk, it's boring.
Yeah.
It's boring.
No, me and Jay. Because
you don't check him on his nonsense.
Yeah, no, you don't. You're way too lazy.
What do you mean?
It's because he butters you up by talking to you first. It's a good strategy by Jay, and he's got you by the cojones.
He left out a lot of context to the Mannion Hurts thing.
Well, listen.
Jalen needs a contract, right? So the pressure on him is if they're going to pay him or not.
If we're being fair and balanced, I answer the questions Jay asked. If he doesn't add a lot of nuance to the question,
but Hugh,
then I just answer the question.
They're setup questions. You got to be able to sniff those out. The setups. Nope.
But I answer them. I just think it's funny.
You need to be meaner to people.
You know what? Yeah. It's just funny because Joe gets a little. You know, Joe does his best not to get irritated, but I can tell it's a little irritating.
Well, here's where I'm at. I got mad last week. We're off that.
You're trying to pull it back.
Well, because he's not even worth it. I mean, like
my uncle used to tell me in situations like this, he said to anger you is to conquer you.
Right, and so I'm not going to.
Jay
be angry.
Conquered you last week.
He got me. I got upset.
He got conquered.
But no better.
But you know what? But sometimes, and I believe this, sometimes people need to be told they're dope.
He said he definitely conquered you.
He got. Yes, so listen, I got upset and I got a little out of character. But I think there's too many people that walk around that no one tells them they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and it's your business.
Well, it's the figurative version of you say people need to get slapped across the lips. Sometimes people need a verbal slap across the lips. Just once in a while to be told you don't know what you're talking about. Just to keep people in check. And Jay needed it last week. We'll get LA coming up at 12:30 with the full report on Jalen. Aaron in San Diego up on WIP. Aaron.
You know, it is refreshing to not have to listen to the Hobbit from Middletown or the stewardess from New Jersey and listen to the likes of Glenn from Florida you know, Mark from Delaware, and then my main man, Mario. I mean, how lucky are we to have such great new callers calling in on a daily basis? And I challenge everybody out there, everybody that's waiting on hold, everybody that's going to call the midday show today, when they pick up the phone and they call on you, give your best rendition of "Good Morning, Philadelphia," and let's make a whole week of it. How about that?
That feels like a lot, but
I'll get the hell out of here.
I'm still stuck on The Hobbit, though. That is crazy.
Well, he also picked out all the callers on Friday that said they were Aaron and San Diego fans. You notice that?
Yeah, he did lose the poll pretty significantly.
Oh, well, that's not surprising. Go ahead, Aaron.
As long as the supporters are edging up a little bit, because this time last year, I probably would have gotten 5% of the vote. But, you know, to have like 30-something or 40-something percent of the vote, I'm proud of that.
You have to
have something to build on. But, hey, listen, the Phillies, the answer to the question, it's super simple. You want to turn the Philadelphia Phillies into a World Series contender, you got to get rid of the dead weight. Get rid of the Bryce Harpers. Get rid of the Kyle Schwarbers. Get rid of the Trey Turners. Get rid of the JT Realmutos. Get rid of the Alex Bohm.
They're the whole team.
Listen, I'm not done, Joe Giglio. Let me finish my sentence.
Let him cook.
You got to bring winners in here like Jalen Hurts, like Devontae Smith, like Lane Johnson, like Quinyon Mitchell. We need winners on this Philadelphia team because right now the starting pitching is not good enough. Right now the bullpen is not good enough. Right now the hitting is not consistent enough where we can count on them come playoff time. We've got to make drastic changes. Unfortunately, it's time to rebuild the Philadelphia Phillies.
Aaron, the trade deadline has passed. They're in a playoff race. This is the team. This is the team for this season. We can't change any of these
things. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Enjoy the regular season. Enjoy the Chase Utley moments. Enjoy all the little things that come with watching a baseball game. Because come playoff time, we ain't got a chance in hell, my friend. Right. We ain't got a chance.
Aren't you a breath of fresh air?
Yeah, that's got to be a little more optimistic. Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, listen.
I do have a what if, too.
What do you got?
And I have real quick, let me talk about Lane Johnson. Because you know, a lot of NFL teams, you know, they have a history of running backs, a history of quarterbacks, a history of wide receivers. For the Philadelphia Eagles, we have been so fortunate and so lucky to have the likes of Trey Thomas, John Runyon, you know, Barrett Brooks, you know, Jason Kelsey, you know, and just the list goes on and on. And then Lane Johnson, you know, just a guy that's been a stalwart, you know, a cornerstone for this Philadelphia Eagles team. You know, getting old sucks, man. And I can't, you know, watching him coming in where everybody was so set on that defensive lineman, thank God for the Miami Dolphins that they took him. And we got the former tight end that transferred, turned into a tackle. And, man, he has just been so much fun to watch. And Lane Johnson, I know you're not listening, but, my friend, thank you so much for the memories. Now for my what if, Joe Giglio.
What do you got?
What if the midday show was featured with Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, and one Aaron in San Diego?
Hugh, what do you think of that one?
Nah.
That's a no from Hugh Douglas. I mean, it was.
I like you, Aaron, but nah.
I will tell you this, and Aaron, we appreciate the phone call.
Too many.
Kyle
too many
was out that day, but Aaron was in studio with us a couple weeks ago because he was
What a great day to be off.
Well, yeah, I know you planned that. He was actually way more tolerable in person. We brought him on the air. We let him do his phone call, like, with us in front of a microphone. He was way, but now every day, every segment, no.
You know, that'd be a lot.
I'm curious, one of the things Aaron said there. He kind of alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
The last 25, 26 years of Eagles football. Like, if you had to say the thing they are most, the biggest reason.
Tackle.
I'd say offensive line.
Tackle.
Like, the offensive line to me is the biggest common denominator of all. Now, Hugh, defensive line, and you were part of that, is probably second.
Because
there's been a lot of different quarterbacks, right? It's a bunch of good ones.
Building the trenches, man.
But the trenches, right? And specifically the offensive line. You know, he mentioned the guys that you played with, and then it became Kelsey, and it became
Peters, and it
became Lane.
It started with Trey.
Yep.
And then, you know, Big Red brought in John Runyon. And man, it's been like, you know, you talk about somebody. The thing I remember about John Runyon and Trey, attitude. And, you know, Lane is in that similar boat. It's that nasty they bring to the table, man, and that competitiveness. John was that dude. Like, I say it all the time. John, we got John. John set the tone for everything because he was just a nasty dude. And it's ironic every day.
What his job is now.
What his job is now. And when you talk to John now, it's, you know, because for me, especially for me, like knowing him when he first got here and knowing who he is now, Joe, sometimes I look at him and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm having a civil conversation with this maniac that I knew like 20-something years ago that was just one of the nastiest individuals that I've ever played with. But he was the tone setter, man, and it's funny because now we're talking about, you know, just trying to stay healthy. We're talking about, you know, best recipes for older gentlemen and best ways to work out with your joints not hurting and things of that nature. So it's just amazing how the conversation has shifted.
But, yeah, it's true. The quarterbacks changed. The coaches changed. Yeah. I mean, even Howie wasn't in charge in the beginning. He's been in charge for a long time. The one constant of 25, 26 years of mostly success, I mean, very few down years in this run, it's been amazing this century, has been the offensive line. And that, you know, when you think about the Lane announcement the other day, it kind of hits you that a pillar of that is about to probably play his last season. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone calls up here. Your what-ifs. Best one we hear today. And, I mean, by accident, only better than Jay's because he doesn't have his facts straight. Best what-if we get today. Wins a pair of tickets to the Eagles open practice on August 25th. Elliot joins us next. His reasoning for the C-minus grade for Jalen today. All your phone calls as well. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.